We say hello to our buddy Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, SiriusXM, Fox Sports Radio. He does a lot of different things. Adam, how you doing?
Guys, good to be with you. And D-Mace, big fan of D-Mace, man, from the over the years.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Right, I needed
great.
That pickup.
His
I
head
that
won't
pickup
fit through the door now. Thanks for that.
I know. I love it. Look, I love the number 85 for some reason. I have no idea why, but I've always liked it.
So, Adam, we have a poll question up on our Twitter account at 1025 The Game. We've asked 10 different questions involving the Tennessee Titans this year, and the one we put up today was, well, the over-under for Derrick Henry in rushing yards, and we set it at 1,350. So 1,350 for Derrick Henry coming off the foot injury. How would you answer that? Over or under 1,350?
Well, it's 79 yards a game, which I would take over. I could tell you, you know, my first question to the Titans was this. Last time I talked to someone with the team was recently, and I said, hey, how's 22 look? And they said, like he used to look before the injury. Looks normal, which is good. You know, that's... When you look at that football team, I have to give the coaches credit. The fact that they still held the number one seed, I still can't believe it. Just the way they manufactured the run game with Hilliard and Foreman was a great job. And now, you know, they got their horse back, so you know where the ball is going. You know, no A.J. Brown, unfortunate receiver, that does concern me in terms of how teams will play them. But it wasn't like they didn't know that Henry was coming and the freight train was coming. So I would take the over in that, which, again, is only 79 yards a game. Here's the thing, though, and Derek knows this as a former player. You do ask yourself at one point with the accumulation of carries, now are we going to start to see him struggle with injury and so forth? This is his first major injury. And the hope is that this is it. This is in terms of injury, this is the only bad one, and he's able to regain what he once was.
Adam Kaplan is with us. Okay, you mentioned A.J. Brown. You're obviously familiar with the Philadelphia market. What has kind of been the discussion there with him coming to the Eagles, and what should be realistic expectations for him?
Yeah, it was definitely stunning. I know how much the front office and the coaching staff was close to him. Heart and soul of the football team. I know it had to pain John Robinson to trade him, but you know they had a contract in mind that they were going to do, and they weren't going to do anything differently. And I think, you know, the Eagles talking to them, they checked out, you know, we know about the scopes on both knees. They felt he's going to be okay. I know there were some teams around the league thought that he might not make it past 4 or 5 more years, which is, you know, getting to his 30s, and we'll see. But so far, so good. The Eagles love having him because they had missed on a couple draft picks, Jalen Reagor, who they just traded, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was a second rounder, who was traded to Seattle, and he's now on Seattle's practice squad. So they had to make up for it with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And it's really remarkable. They've completely reshaped their receiver corps, which is one of the worst in the National Football League. And you got those two kids we just mentioned, and then you got Quez Watkins as their three. A guy you guys are familiar with, and Zach Pascal, who's a tough guy, as their four. So they've done a really remarkable job here with draft capital and also money and trades to reshape it.
We're talking with Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL. Now, Adam, we just had a discussion about Ryan Tannehill and Josh Allen. It started off with Josh Allen because of, you know, people believe this is his year to win MVP. But then I sort of asked the guys the question, like, listen, can Ryan Tannehill, if given an opportunity, because those two guys, and I know Ryan's older, but they sort of possess the same skill set in a sense. I believe, you know, both of them can run the ball, football. I think Ryan chose not to run because he's getting a little older. But I think they sort of have the same skill set. I'm not saying Ryan is Josh Allen, but some of the skill set is there. If allowed, could Ryan conduct and run an offense like they do in Buffalo and the Titans still win?
No, because okay. – And Mace, I'm a more of an analytics guy by trade. I just believe you got to throw the football to win. I get it. The you play to your strength with Henry, and running the football will only take you so far. You live that, as you know, with Baltimore. Mm-hmm. You got to throw the football. In today's NFL, the rules dictate it. The advantages that offensive players have, particularly in the passing game. And Tannehill's a guy, and I remember talking to Dolphins about this. You don't want to put a lot on him. You don't want to ask him to throw the ball a ton. Now, could they ask to throw the ball a little bit more? Sure, but the other thing is, if they had better talent at wide receiver, mm-hmm. I'd say, okay, maybe we'll see about Burks. I know he's coming on a little bit after, obviously, not being available much in the offseason. But no, they don't. A, they don't have the personnel to do it, and B, I don't think he could handle a high volume of passes. I just don't think he's that kind of guy who processes well enough. That's been my understanding. Mm-hmm. He is also, as you know, I forgot, he's actually 34 years old. He just turned 34 in July, so you do worry about that as he gets older. But you are right, though. He is he's a big time athlete for the position. It's just he's not a guy that I think could handle throwing the ball 35, 37 times a game.
Now, with that being said, do you think that's the reason? Because when I look at the Indianapolis Colts and I look at the Tennessee Titans, I still give the Titans a nod in regards to, you know, the players. I know they lost Harold Landry, but even huge. Before losing Harold Landry, many people still had Indianapolis taking over the division from the Titans. And I just don't see that. As long as Vrabel's the coach and Derrick Henry's in the backfield and that defense is getting better, I can't see no other reason but the quarterback for people to think, well, maybe this is the year that the coach overtake the Titans.
Well, it's funny. For the first time in three, I have to turn my picks in for a couple of different polls that I vote in, and I'm probably leaning towards the Colts. Matt Ryan versus Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan, less likely to turn it over. He's extremely durable. I'll say this, though. The one issue the Colts have, and it's pretty significant to me, is their offensive line. It's not the line that we remember. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a new left tackle. In fact, a below-average left tackle. Whether it's going to, it's probably going to be Matt Pryor, who was a longtime backup for the Eagles. And then that does worry me. And right guard's going to be new, so that would be a concern. They have a brand-new defense in Gus Bradley, bringing his version of Seattle's defense, so that's going to be a change. And the former Darius Leonard is now Shaquille Leonard. He's coming back from a major back surgery. He's getting close. I don't know that he's going to play this week, but he's getting close. So I think it's extremely tight in that division between those two teams. It's almost flip a coin. I just feel slight lean towards the Colts, but it's funny, as you and I talk about the Titans here, look, the Landry injury is obviously a problem, but if Henry's back to where he was before the injury, it's also hard to pick against him.
Adam Kaplan is with us. And Adam, another one that I hear a lot, and we've debated a bunch, we notice how many people nationally are giving the Colts the nod over the Titans, and we wonder how Mike Vrabel is internalizing that. The other one that I think is a big theme is the faith in the Chargers, right? Over the years, they have found ways not to do well. You know, it's well documented, but there seems to be a lot of trends that say Chargers could win the Super Bowl. Are you a believer?
You know, every year it's like when the Rams got to the Super Bowl in 18, coming out of nowhere in Sean McVay's second year. I mean, no one saw that coming. Let's not forget the Chargers lost the last regular season game to the Raiders. If they would have won that, they would have been in the playoffs. Now, my understanding is that the Chargers wanted to completely change their defense in terms of size. They wanted to get bigger up front. They've actually have six new starters from their defense. They're revamping it. They expect to be better. Their defense at times was not competitive last season, which was a surprise with Brandon Staley being the head coach. So they've revamped it. They're super, really good at wide receiver. Their offensive line's improved, where it was really bad a couple years ago. They've basically addressed every situation. It's just that they all have to kind of hang in there and not get behind and not make mistakes. But, no, I expect them to improve, and that's a team that doesn't have a lot of weaknesses.
Adam, before we let you go, the Giants come here on Sunday. We know they've got a new coach in transition, all of this. Give me what you think we're going to see early here. Like, what will you be looking for? Because everybody here is saying, look, you've got to win this game. They're going to Buffalo in week two, need a W. What are the Giants bringing to the table?
All right, so they've got a lot of problems. They're deep at receiver, but three other top four guys are either nursing injury or coming back from injury. They're great at tackle. They're very weak on the interior of the offensive line. They're really coached well by Bobby Johnson. He's one of the better line coaches. He came over with Dable from Buffalo. But so the Titans will certainly have an advantage with their front seven against the Giants' interior of their offensive line. That's an advantage they have to win. Defensively, now, here's the thing, before we get to defense, actually, with Mike Kafka calling the plays and Brian Dable will assist, he'll be heavily involved. Getting these two guys together, they're very forward-thinking. You're going to see a combination of Andy Reid's passing game concepts, Kafka put together the passing game for Andy Reid for several years, and then Brian Daboll with all that he brings. So you're going to see them spread it out, a lot of three receiver sets. They're going to challenge the Titans secondary. They're not going to coach scared like the former staff with the Giants. They're going to be aggressive. They're not going to worry about Daniel Jones and not pick up his fifth year option. They're going to be aggressive. Then defensively, nobody blitzes more than Don Wink Martindale. And I know the Titans believe that their offensive line is better than last year, and getting Lawan back, who's totally healthy, is ready to go here. So this is a fun game. Obviously, I would lean towards the Titans here, but expect the unexpected with Daboll and Kafka on offense. To answer your question, there are going to be some things that they certainly didn't show on tape. And also this kid from Kentucky, Wandale Robinson, they absolutely love. He's a guy they're going to line up, run some trick plays with maybe, you know, certainly a guy they'll use in the backfield. But defensively, because they're not super talented, you're going to see them, they're going to try to make up with aggressiveness. And nobody has a higher blitz percentage than Don Wink Martindale, their D coordinator. So they're going to have some wins this season, the Giants, where you go, how do they do that? They're not as talented, but they're going to be very well coached.
Adam Kaplan is with us. Adam, appreciate the time as always. Always good to talk to you.
Guys, thank you.